Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 65 for November 5th, 2006. Coming up in a few minutes.
They like to try the scotches and the high-end products, and it gives them an opportunity to try something that they may not normally be able to try.
That's Bruce Bowden, one of the managers at what may well be the world's largest liquor store, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario's Summerhill Station store in Toronto. It's the home of the legendary Tasting Tower. More on that in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. Just after the last episode, word came down about the sale of Inverhouse Distillers to International Beverages, which is a division of Thai Beverages. The purchase price was not disclosed, but the Herald estimated the value of the deal at around £60 million. Inverhouse had been owned by the Pacific Spirits division of Great Oriole Group, and the Thai entrepreneur behind Great Oriole also owns a stake in Thai Beverages. Now, what does this mean for whiskey lovers? Well, it means that Inverhouse's brands, including Old Pulteney and Knock and the Inverhouse namesake blend, will also get access to InterBev's Pacific Rim distribution network. InterBev also has ties in North America, where it distributes Bunahavan and Deanston for Bern Stewart distillers, and that may mean wider availability of Inverhouse products in the U.S. In another business move, William Grant & Sons Managing Director Simon MacDonald has left the family-owned company. The Scotsman reports that the maker of Glenfiddich and Balvenie single malts and the Grant's blend plans to set up four regional divisions, with the managing directors reporting to CEO Roland Van Bommel. This week, Glengoyne released four new limited edition single malts. Glengoyne 21, 29, and 36-year-old malts will be available in 70cl bottles. And in a rare move, Glengoyne will release a 16-year-old limited edition exclusively in 50ml miniature bottles. Just a bit of commentary here. I like this move and wish other distillers would copy it, since it gives more of us a chance to sample a rare single malt. For instance, only 174 bottles of the 29-year-old Glengoyne will be available worldwide, and that means only a lucky few of us will get to try it. About 2,500 minis of the 16-year-old will be released. The odds of getting one of those are a little better. Of course, you could just make your own exclusive single malt. Granted, it is illegal to do that almost everywhere in the world. However, if you go to the Drumhork Lodge in the Scottish Highlands, you could come home with your very own malt. I talked with Drumhork owner John Clotworthy about his Loch Ewe mini distillery back in July during episode 50, and now he's giving his guests a chance to distill their own whiskey.
Where you'll come in, you'll have dinner, bed and breakfast. You'll also have the still to work on. You'll brew, ferment and distill it, and cask it at the end of the week after the second distillation into a 5-litre cask like this here, and then take it home and mature it in your own home.
So you can tap into it whenever it's right?
Yeah. Well, the good thing about a cask this size is, a cask this size will be very, very well matured within the 6 months. Because of the size of the cask, the more the evaporation you'll get, and then the more refined the spirit will become inside it. So what we've found is we've tried small casks, just to try them for a wee example, and really, really mature. Between 6 and 9 months, we got a perfect product to try.
And how does somebody sign up for this trip if they want to do it?
Easy. They just go onto the internet, www.drumhork.com, and see what's in there. Contact us. We'll give you an individual price. You might come as an individual person. You might come as a couple. If you're a couple and your wife's interested in making perfumes, there's also a local perfume studio. She can be distilling her own perfumes. You can be distilling your own whiskey. Hey, who's going to win?
There's a link to the Drumhork Lodge website at whiskeycast.com. Of course, if you'd rather let someone else do all the work, Beaumore has a new 16-year-old Islay single malt available. Beaumore's Jimmy Robertson says it's the second in a series.
We did a 16-year-old 1989, matured only in a bourbon barrel. And this year we brought out a 16-year-old 1990, matured only in a sherry butt. So that we're bringing out a kind of a trio. There'll be another one next year. And we're bringing out this trilogy of 16-year-olds. Really just trying to show people the difference, say, between bourbon barrel, sherry barrel maturation. We're bringing out a 37-year-old 1968, spent all its life in a bourbon barrel. That'll be out in about a month's time.
And Beaumore's sister distillery, Auchentoshan, will also have a couple of new single malts available in time for the holidays. Of course, Malt Advocate Magazine's Whiskey Fest New York is this Monday night, and look for more on that in the next episode. But there is an entire week of whiskey events around the Big Apple. Despite its name, the Brandy Library in Manhattan will be a busy place this week. Here's Spirit Sommelier Ethan Kelly.
On Tuesday, we've got two things going on. On one side of the room, we'll have Bernie Louvers, the whiskey professor from Beam, explaining their full line. Again, that's going to be Knob Creek, Basil Hayden, Booker's, Baker's, the whole bit. On the other side of the room will be a woman by the name of Martine Nouet, who is the editor of Whiskey Magazine in France. And she, along with the owner of Brandy Library and myself, will be doing tastings and competitions between single malt scotch and cognac, some of which will be blind, which ought to be pretty interesting. Wednesday, starting at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, we'll have Lincoln Henderson, Suntory Single Malt, Japanese whiskeys, talking about that. But he is also formerly of Woodford Reserve, which makes him an expert on all things whiskey-related. Friday night, I am going to be very proud to introduce the newest members to our collection, and that's going to be the Gordon & McPhail Independent Bottlings. I have just brought six new ones in, six that I am remarkably happy to have, and I'd like to kick them off with a bang. And then Saturday, as always, we return to Single Malt Saturdays, where four bottles that I feel deserve to be retasted or looked at again, and we sit down and taste those, and that's from 5 to 8.
Park Avenue Liquors also has tasting sessions almost every day this week. There's a complete schedule at the WhiskeyCast website. You may also recall the episode a few weeks ago on store-exclusive bottlings. Park Avenue has a new one on hand. It's a Hart Brothers bottling of 15-year-old Macallan aged in a single rum cask and bottled at 46% ABV. There are just 330 bottles available at $116 apiece, and Alistair Hart of Hart Brothers will be pouring samples at Whiskey Fest on Monday night. Just a few of the other events on the calendar. The FNB Whiskey Live Festival is this Wednesday and Thursday in Johannesburg, South Africa. Philadelphia Magazine's third annual Whiskey Festival is this Thursday night. This coming weekend is the International Whiskey Festival, also known as Whiskey Live Holland, in Leiden, the Netherlands. And November 15th is the annual Whiskey in the Warehouse event at Willow Park Liquors in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. As always, you'll find a complete calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website, www.whiskeycast.com. One of the places you'll find me hanging out on the internet is in the Whiskey Magazine forums, and those of us who don't live in Ontario have endured repeated bragging from our Canadian friends about the tasting tower at the Liquor Control Board of Ontario's Summerhill store. The day after Whiskey Live Toronto last month, I headed north up Yonge Street to the old Summerhill station, built back in 1917.
It was built to be the main train station for the city of Toronto. Then our city fathers decided to build Union Station downtown, which is right on the lake, and this was too far north for people to come. So it, in approximately 1930, it stopped being a train station, and the LCBO moved in. We've been here for over 60 years in this location, and the building itself is a historical site.
Bruce Voden is one of the managers at Summerhill, and he says for most of those 60 years, the liquor store took up just a small part of the train station, but that changed a few years ago.
They renovated it. Where we're standing here, like you see all the marble in here, this was all covered up before. You couldn't see any of it. As you walk down the hallway here, all that marble, those skylights, everything was covered. You couldn't, and so, including the floors you're standing on. These are everything you're looking at here is the original to when it was the train station. So when they decided to expand the building, they actually added a section to it and just made it the largest liquor store in the world.
It's also one of the most beautiful. The old ticket windows in the main hall now open up into a large tasting kitchen and auditorium. But for whiskey lovers, the main attraction is a couple of rooms away from the whiskey section.
Where we're standing right now is in the base of our clock tower, and we call this our tasting tower.
We have over 100 brands in here, featured from all over the world, including scotches, spirits, wines, whiskeys, you name it, we have it. This tasting tower is open every day from noon till 8 o'clock at night, except Sundays, we're only open till 6. The customers come in and they can actually try 2 products, and there's a very minimal price for purchasing them. And hopefully when they try them, they like them, they buy them. Out in front of the tasting tower here, we actually have the products on the shelves so they can pick it up right away.
How popular is this?
This is extremely popular. If you come in here, if you would have been here yesterday, for example, it was like Cheers Bar. They're lined up, and Ruth can contest to that to us. They were lined up here 6 deep.
Ruth Deffitt is one of the tower's in-house bartenders.
Ruth, what's the most expensive or the rarest scotch you've ever had in here? You would know better.
It was probably the 1976, was it 66, Brooklawdy. It sold for about $700, and it was about $7 to sample it, which is quite a bargain.
I think at most bars, that would probably be at least a $40 glass.
Yeah, most definitely it would be. But here we're they get an ounce or half an ounce, quarter of an ounce of spirits, and an ounce of wine. So it's just giving the customer a chance to taste the product. And we do get a lot of people coming in here for that purpose. They come to see what scotches we have here this month, and they try them.
On this day, the tower's most expensive bottle was a Macallan that sells for $250, or just a few dollars for a taste. And the selection comes right out of the store's stock.
Is it fair to say that you've got a better selection here than most bars in Toronto?
Yes. There might be the odd exception. There's a couple actual, like, high-end scotch bars in Toronto. But if you can't find it here, you're not going to find it in most stores anywhere in Ontario.
Or most bars, either.
Or most bars, because they have to do the shopping here. We have everything here from scotches that run, $40 a bottle up to Macallan's 25-year-old, which is over $5,000 a bottle.
At the tower.
Well, that's not in the tower, no, but it's in the store.
It's not just whiskeys. There are also selections from the store's tequila, rum, and other spirits, as well as a number of wines. But Ruth says the whiskey drinkers tend to be the most regular customers, though at noon on Sunday, the tower was quiet.
For January and February, what we do is we dedicate an entire display to scotches, and we usually have a theme. Last year, each row was a different year, so we had 30s, 20s, teens, under 10-year-old scotch, and It's been amazingly successful and popular with our customers.
And just in case you're wondering what I tried at the tower, I chose a 10-year-old Nika Japanese single malt that's not available in the U.S., as well as Ardbeg's legendary Ugadal. Now, Summerhill isn't the only LCBO store with a tasting tower. If you're interested, you'll find the details at the LCBO's website. There's a link at whiskeycast.com. And that's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. Don't forget, the next episode comes from Whiskey Fest New York, where I'll have the details of this year's Malt Advocate Magazine Awards, including the Distiller of the Year. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.